Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to Revelation, chapter 18 today. What does God think of politics and commerce? Now, I don't mean is God a Democrat or Republican, a capitalist or a communist. I mean the whole system. What does God think of the world's political and commercial system? And what does he think of the kings and merchants who keep it running, make a pretty penny doing it? We're moving quickly to the end of the tribulation, so keep your eye on the big picture here. This is the revelation of Jesus, revealing Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ultimately, this is about the kingdoms of the world becoming the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. But it's not as simple as Jesus just telling the world that he's king now. No, in order to establish his kingdom on the earth, the whole system has to change. Religion, politics, commerce, the whole system. Now with that, chapter 18 returns again to the fate of Babylon. Only this one is a little different. Yesterday, Babylon was the mother of harlots, the godless religious systems of the world. We saw her fate destroyed. So why is she back? Let's read on. Verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." So it's Babylon again, but something is different. The clue here is in whom this Babylon is connected with. Throughout the chapter, it is kings and merchants, verse 3, verse 9, and 11. Kings and merchants represent politics and commerce, the secular establishments of the world system. Back in verse 2, "Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal." Basically, that's the corruption of the system. It's not that politics and commerce are inherently wrong, but they have become the dwelling of demons. Everything unclean and detestable makes a home here. Corruption, greed, injustice, detestable. Verse 3. "For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." The kings committed adultery. Their authority was given by God, but they abused their power for greed. They should have been shepherds. Instead, they became slave drivers. And the merchants grew rich from her excessive luxuries. That means they took way more than they needed. We all know how it works. The concentration of wealth, the greed at the top. One of the arguments that I wonder over as a Christian, communism versus capitalism, two very different economic systems. On the surface, communism appears much closer to Christian ideals. Equality, living in community, providing for the needy. In practice, communism has been violently anti-Christian. Soviet communism alone has the blood of 20 million Christian martyrs on its hands. That's three times the Holocaust. And the equality in community just doesn't seem to appear. Corrupted. Just one more dwelling for demons. Capitalism also has its Christian slant, built on the ideals of freedom and hard work. And to some extent, it has sustained an equitable middle class. Look a little deeper, though, and you'll find a heavy dose of greed and ungodliness. When greedy men are left free to pay workers little and charge buyers much, then poison the skies and pollute the mines, all because they can, it's not right. So which one do I support? In the end, neither. And that's what Revelation is about, the end. Christians, we are called to look ahead to the end of things. Greed works for the moment. It's the way of the world. But we are not of this world. Look at verse 4. "Then I heard another voice from heaven say, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes.'" This voice is to me and to you, Christians. Come out of her, my people. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to stand for justice, for equality and freedom. But beware of the tangles of the system. James delivers a strong warning. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? That means the world system. If you follow the way of the world in life or in business, you will reap what you sow. Beware the love of money, the seduction of luxury, and the intoxication of power. Come out of her, my people, or go down with the ship. And that ship will go down fast. And again, we see the cycle of sowing and reaping. In verse 6, pay her back, pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. Then verse 8, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. Judgment falls. And then one at a time, all those who got rich off of her stand in shock. First the kings in verse 9, who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury. They weep and mourn, terrified. Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In one hour your doom has come. Then the merchants in verse 11, they mourn because no one buys their cargoes anymore. The party's over. A long list of their cargoes follows, most of them luxuries. This is materialism, the worship of stuff. And at the end of verse 13, one more cargo, the bodies and souls of men. Slavery, human trafficking, sex trade. Did you know that pornography is a $20 billion a year industry? That's just the legal stuff. And it destroys viewers, destroys the performers. It ruins people, the bodies and souls of mankind. But it makes a lot of money. I saw the movie Taken once. The reality of the sex trade is too disturbing for me to watch it again. But there is a part of me that wants to cheer for the hero with a very particular set of skills who will find them and stop them. That is the story here. Mighty is the Lord God who judges her, and he will find them and stop them. The merchants weep and mourn, just as the kings before them. Woe, woe to you, great city. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. And then the sea captains join in, all who travel by ship and earn their living from the sea. Their lament is the same. But not everyone is mourning. Verse 20, rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets, for God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. When justice wins, heaven cheers. The oppression is over. And one more angel pronounces the final judgment. The great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. Verse 22 is interesting. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters, will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. Now, what is this? Music, work, production, these are the basics of life and society. The simple and good things that have been all too easily corrupted by the politics of greed. They will never be heard in Babylon again. 23. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered on the earth.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.